Hebrews chapter 11, and over the past 7 weeks or so, we have been studying through this chapter and looking specifically at living by faith and what this passage teaches us about faith, mainly from the illustrations given by the lives of those mentioned here. And so we come to chapter 11 and verse 13. And we will be looking at verses 13 through 16 this morning as we look at this portion of Scripture, of this chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13 through 16. You follow along as I read our passage this morning. The Bible says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Have you ever had your hopes dashed because the reality of something didn't quite meet your expectations for it? Or maybe something didn't quite live up to all that it was promised or, you know, promised to be? I'm sure all of us have encountered that, whether it's on a small scale or big scale. We are used, or it's just not necessarily used to it, but we have experienced being disillusioned because something was not quite what we expected it to be. Just last summer, our family, when we were back in the States, had something happen that was very much like that. We were in between meetings at churches, and we're looking for a place to stay, and we're at a place, and we're approached by a representative from a timeshare company, and it was one of those, you know, we'll put you up for a couple days, you come listen to our spiel, you know, hopefully you'll buy something and, you know, whatever else. And so we knew what we were getting into when that happened. We know, okay, yeah, they're going to offer something that seems really good and try to get us to buy more. It's like, we understand that, but hey, why not? If we can get a couple days, you know, where they put us up or very little and give us vouchers and things to do, sure, that'll be fine. And we asked a lot of questions and tried to figure out, you know, what was going on. And, you know, they promised, they said, you know, we'll put you up in a nice place, you know, resort-like place, you know, water slide, pool, you know, just all the amenities. And you just come a couple days there, you just come listen to us, no obligations. And, you know, that's what it is. So we thought, okay, why not? We need a couple days, place to stay anyways. And so we signed up for it. And unfortunately, what we got was not quite what we were promised. We were put up in a hotel, yes, but it was a very basic hotel. It was definitely not resort-like. There was definitely no water slide, and the pool was probably about half the size of this room. And it was very much a letdown from what we had been promised and what we were expecting. And so already we were going into it, you know, kind of not trusting the company as much because, okay, you promised this, we're getting this. How do we know that you're going to actually give us what you're promising in this marketing pitch that we have to listen to? So long and short of it is we went through it. We sat there, didn't do anything. We got our free vouchers that they promised us, went on. But that was definitely an experience that did not quite live up to what we had been promised. And as we come to Hebrews chapter 11, remember the context of this chapter is that the author of Hebrews is writing to a group of Jewish Christians who had forsaken their Jewish beliefs and turned to Christ. They had believed that Christ was the Messiah, but now they were facing intense persecution, both from the Jewish nation as well as from the Roman Empire at this time. They were getting it from both sides. And the persecution was so intense that it was causing them to question, is living for Christ really worth it? In a way, they were almost coming to it with the feeling, well, the Christian life isn't quite what I was expecting it to be. And they were wavering, wondering, is living for Christ worth it? Or should I just go back to following the Jewish system? Because at least I wouldn't be persecuted by the Israelite nation, by my fellow countrymen. And in that context, the author of the book of Hebrews is writing, showing them through multiple ways that, no, Christ is better than the Old Testament system. Matter of fact, the entire book of Hebrews is focused on that theme. But in Hebrews chapter 11 specifically, the author of Hebrews is giving a list of Old Testament saints who went before to show these Jewish Christians that, listen, yes, you need to live by faith just as these did of old. And he goes back through much of Jewish history. He starts with Abel. He goes on to Enoch. He covers Noah. Abraham and Sarah is who we looked at last week. And in verses 13 through 16 now, he almost pauses his list of Old Testament characters in order to emphasize a very practical aspect of living by faith that would be especially pertinent to these Jewish Christians who were struggling in their faith at this point. The author of Hebrews reminds him in verse 13, he says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises." Now, "these all" is referring to specifically Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Sarah, who have been mentioned in verses 8 through 12. And he's reminding them that these all did not fully receive all that God was including in his promise to Abraham. It was a promise that would be fulfilled over multiple generations throughout history and not completely fulfilled with Abraham specifically during his lifetime. They received part of the promise, but part of it would not be fulfilled until some 400 years later when the Israelite nation would finally come back to Canaan and possess the land that God had promised. And so in a way, they never saw the fulfillment of all that God had promised, and yet they still continued to live by faith. They did not get disillusioned. They did not get discouraged. They did not give up on their faith because they didn't receive all that they thought was included in that promise that God made. And in reminding them of this fact, the author of Hebrews is confronting these Jewish believers and reminding them of the fact that the reality of living by faith is that we do not receive everything that God has promised here in this life. But faith will remain true to God even when it seems like the reality of living by faith is something different than what we expected. The focus of this passage, although it starts out and says these all died in faith, the focus is not on the fact that they died, but on what they did in life that enabled them to consistently live by faith up to the time that they died. Matter of fact, in verse 13, where it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises," what follows in that verse, "having seen them afar off, being persuaded," all the rest of that verse is referring to something that they did before death. Okay, it's an action that took place before their death and enabled them to live by faith. So what was unique about their faith that caused them to stay strong and not grow disillusioned when they didn't receive the complete fulfillment of all that God had promised? The main thrust of this passage is showing that these individuals, specifically Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Sarah, they were able to live consistently by faith because they adopted a pilgrim mindset. They adopted a pilgrim mindset, a mindset that looked beyond this present life and realized that there is something more that is worth living for. And that is where their focus was, and that is what characterized them as living by faith. And so this morning we're going to look at this concept of adopting a pilgrim mindset. What does it mean to adopt a pilgrim mindset? And what does that look like for us today? And so as we consider this passage, we need to understand this main truth, that in order to live by faith, you must adopt a pilgrim mindset. Now, when I say adopt a pilgrim mindset, what do we mean by adopting? Well, just in the normal sense of that word, you choose something or someone and you make it your own. For a mindset, you're choosing that mindset and making it yours. A pilgrim is defined by the Merriam-Webster Dictionary as someone who journeys in a foreign land. Thus, a pilgrim mindset is a mindset that you choose to make your own that realizes that while you are living here on this earth, You are a foreigner and a pilgrim as a child of God. This world is not your home, as the old song says. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so as we consider this passage, there are several things that we find that characterize this pilgrim mindset. And so let's begin looking at them beginning in verse 13. In order to adopt a pilgrim mindset, number one, you must look beyond this present life. You must look beyond this present life. Notice verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." Having seen them afar off. Faith does not just see what can be experienced here and now on this earth. Faith looks beyond this present life to the eternal. And it sees the eternal just as real as if it could physically see it here on this earth. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we saw the introduction to this chapter says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith looks beyond what we can see at this present life, looks through the eye of faith and sees, okay, God has promised this. This is what God has. This is what is eternal. That's what I'm focusing on. See, a life of faith, let me say it this way, a life that does not live by faith is only concerned about this present life. What we can see, what we can do, what we have, all of these are what the mindset is, but a pilgrim mindset, a mindset that lives by faith, must begin with an eternal perspective. That this life is not all that there is. There is something more important to live for. And just as Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob saw God's promises afar off, they knew they were true, even if they never actually physically saw them come to pass on this earth, they still believed them. They still trusted in them, and they looked beyond this present life. We're reminded in the New Testament as well that it is important to keep that eternal perspective as we go through our lives as Christians. Because keeping an eternal perspective is what will keep you from becoming discouraged and disillusioned when we face difficulties and trials in life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 17 and 18, in the context of suffering and affliction, Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Paul was reminding us that even though he was facing intense persecution and suffering, he said, "I'm choosing not to focus on what I'm seeing, what I'm going through. I'm looking beyond that because I know what's waiting for me in glory is far greater than anything that I could ever have here on this earth." In dealing with the hope of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, 19, Paul reminds us that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. As a Christian, if we put our hopes only in what happens here on this earth, in this life, we will lead a miserable life. There's no way around it. It is only when we take God's promises and look beyond the temporal and focus on the eternal and say, "That is what I'm living for. That is my perspective. That is what my goal is." That is what keeps us strong in the faith and fights the discouragement that we face. Discouragement and disillusionment come when we lose our eternal perspective. Instead of viewing life from God's perspective as revealed in His Word, we begin to view life through the lens of our expectations and our hopes. But a pilgrim mindset looks beyond this present life and focuses on the eternal and maintains an eternal perspective. But notice secondly, it says, not just that they saw them afar off, but notice the next phrase it says, and were persuaded of them. The second part of having a pilgrim mindset is not only that you must look beyond this present life, but secondly, you must be convinced that God's word is true. You must be absolutely convinced that God's word is true. That's the understanding here. When it says they were persuaded of him, they were convinced. God's promises are true. What he has said will come to pass. There's nothing that you can say that will cause me to doubt it. And a pilgrim mindset is absolutely convinced that God's word is true. Now get it. Even when circumstances seem to say otherwise. They might appear to say otherwise. For example, we saw last week in verse 11 that Sarah had a time of doubting when she faltered in her faith. When because of her advanced age and Abraham's advanced age and their biological inability to have children, when God said to Sarah, "You're going to have a son next year," she laughed in her heart, doubting what God had said. She faltered in her faith, but why? Because she looked only at her and Abraham's physical ability. She failed to account for God's ability and God's promises. But when she refocused her faith and put them on who God is and what he is able to do, then her faith was strong. Her faith was solidified. And she chose to take God's word. Look at the last part of verse 11. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah and Abraham looked beyond their circumstances to the very character and ability of God and said, even though I don't understand it, even though I might not be able to see it, I know who God is. I know he's trustworthy. Therefore, I'm going to claim his promise and be absolutely convinced of it. If we're honest with ourselves, there are times in our life where we will be faced with circumstances that might seem to contradict what we read in God's word. Again, that's from our perspective. Understanding we don't have God's perspective. We've been praying as a church for little Miles with his cancer, little three-year-old boy with leukemia we've been praying for a while. Something like that could cause you to ask, you know, how can God be good letting a little three-year-old boy have cancer like this, and now his body's not able to even take the treatment that he needs, and it just seems like, you know, how can God be good even in that situation? We don't understand it. We do not have God's full perspective on it. But that is where we have to come back to God's word and say, God's word is true even though I may not understand what's going on around me. Be absolutely convinced that God and his word is true. And in those times of questioning, we have to absolutely anchor ourselves to the truth of God's word and remind ourselves, God is all-knowing, God is always good, and he will always do good. Amen. And so as we consider a pilgrim mindset, we see first of all that a pilgrim mindset looks beyond this present life. It maintains an eternal perspective. Secondly, it is absolutely convinced that God's word is true. But notice the next phrase in verse 13. It says, they, having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them. Now, we here in Newfoundland can probably understand that maybe better than others in some parts, because it's quite normal to greet somebody with a hug, is it not? You embrace them, and it's part of the culture, it's part of what we do. Other parts of the country or other parts of the world, not so much. But here it is. And when we embrace someone, what are we doing? It's a personal welcome. It's like we're welcoming them in. It's like it's you're one of us. You know, we're welcoming you, and I'm accepting you. And the idea of embracing God's promises here in verse 13 is this, that we must take God's word personally. In other words, make it our own. We mentioned some of this last week in talking about Sarah's faith, that she had personal faith. She couldn't just ride along on the coattails of Abraham's faith. She had her own personal faith. And here, when it's talking about embracing the promises of God, it has that same idea, that this is for me. This is what God has given to me. Therefore, I'm going to cling to it. It's mine. I will welcome them and make them a part of my life. Do you fully embrace God's word as being God's word for you? in the devotions we've been doing with our kids over the past couple weeks. It made mention of the fact that God's word is God's love letter to us. And it is. It's his love letter, but also our instruction manual for life. And each one of us needs to come to the point where we don't simply view the Bible as God's word, but we view it as it's God's word for me. This is what God wants for me. This is what God has given to me to live by, for encouragement, for strength. This is mine. And a pilgrim mindset doesn't just say, well, I'll just see. Let me just wait and see what if that's really true. No, it embraces God's word. It's true, it's convinced, and it makes it your own. You claim it as your own. Notice the next phrase in verse 13. A pilgrim mindset also recognizes your true status as a Christian. Notice the next phrase. It says, not just that they saw them afar off, not just persuaded of them and embraced them. Notice the last phrase of verse 13. And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The word strangers and pilgrims indicates someone who's just dwelling in the place, like a temporary resident. You don't have the status and the rights of a citizen. You're a foreigner in a foreign country. Abraham and his family recognized that they, although they were in the land of Canaan and God had promised them that land, part of the promise was not fully fulfilled. They could not possess it at that point. We mentioned a few weeks ago when we looked at Abraham, in verse 9 it says they wandered in tabernacles, in tents. They lived a very nomadic life. They didn't build cities. They didn't establish their dwelling place there. That would come 400 some years later. But right now, they just dwelt in that land as foreigners and as strangers and pilgrims. And a pilgrim mindset recognizes that as a child of God, we are not citizens of this world that we currently live in, spiritually speaking. We are citizens of heaven living here on this earth as foreigners and pilgrims. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 tells us, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This pilgrim mindset was a reality that the apostles and the early New Testament Christians lived with. Matter of fact, when you read 1 Peter, as he writes to other believers who were scattered abroad, in chapter 2, verse 11, he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, using this exact same phrase. What that means for us as Christians is this, that we are different from the world in which we live, or we should be. We have a different citizenship. We have a different homeland. This world is not our home. We're passing through. And recognizing your true status as a pilgrim in this world is the essence of true Christianity versus nominal Christianity. Now, what do I mean by that? Nominal Christianity is just claiming the name of Christian, but it doesn't really go much beyond that. A nominal Christian is one who will be comfortable in the world in which we live, blend in, not make any waves, so to speak, not be distinct in any way. But yet God calls us as his children to live distinct lives from an unsaved world around us. As we've been studying in the men's Bible study, as he said in 1 Peter, God calls us to be holy because he is holy. We should reflect his holy character in how we live and in who we are. And one of the ways that we do that is by recognizing our true status. That as Christians, we are not of this world. Now, that doesn't mean that we still live here. We're here until God takes us home. But understand, we are to be distinct. We are pilgrims. Our future inheritance, our future homeland is waiting for us. It's not here on this earth. And this is really an extension of that first part of the mindset of being a pilgrim, looking beyond this present life, understanding that there is more that is important that we live for. And so, do you live in light of the fact that God calls you to be a stranger and pilgrim on this earth? Or do you try to blend in and be as much like the world as possible? A pilgrim mindset recognizes and lives in light of your true status as a Christian, a child of God whose citizenship is in heaven, not of this earth. So a pilgrim mindset, first of all, looks beyond this present life. It is convinced that God's word is absolutely true. It takes God's word and makes it your own. It recognizes your true status as a Christian. Now notice verse 14. The Bible says, "For they that say such things," those who declare that they're strangers and pilgrims, those who understand their status, "they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." The idea of that word country is a homeland. He says, they declare it plainly. Those who have adopted this pilgrim mindset declare it plainly. It's evident to everyone around them. And so here we see the fifth part of adopting a pilgrim mindset is that it is clear, you are clear in your testimony before others. Your testimony being how people see you, whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, whether it's your coworkers. The reality is that God expects us to be pilgrims and strangers in this world. Does your life demonstrate that to others? There's two ways that we demonstrate that and should demonstrate it clearly as God's children. We need to be clear in our lifestyle, how we live. This would include the things that we pursue, our goals in life, the way that we live life, the things that we set as our priorities. All of these things are encompassed in this. Does the way that we live, do the things that we pursue, does that show that we are strangers and pilgrims here on this earth? That we are focused on the eternal and not just here on the temporal? Do these things in your life show clearly that you are living for the Lord and for His glory? We can be clear in our lifestyle, and we need to be clear in our language as well. Not just what we say, the words we use, but also how we say it, the things we talk about. The Bible tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What your affections are, what you prioritize, what is most important to you will be what you talk about. Do people see a difference in what you talk about? Does your speech and your language clearly show that you are living for the Lord and for the eternal? Or does it show, I'm just focused on what I can get now, what's right here? Can people clearly see from your testimony that you are living for more than what this present life offers? So a pilgrim mindset looks beyond this present life, is convinced that God's word is true. It makes God's word personal, that it's mine. It understands our true status as children of God here on this earth. It maintains a clear testimony. But notice verse 15. It says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." Now, the point of this verse is this. It's saying that if Abraham really had wanted to, he could have gone back to his homeland, to the Ur of the Chaldees. There was nothing physically stopping him from doing that. There was nothing restraining him, making him stay there in the land of Canaan. He had the opportunity to if he had wanted to. When it says in verse 15, if they had been mindful of that country, the understanding here is that it's a conditional sentence, but it's a false one. So the idea is if they had considered their former country, but they didn't. And because they didn't, they stayed where they were. Here's the truth from this verse. That a pilgrim mindset ignores the enticement of this present world. A pilgrim mindset ignores the enticement of this present world. If Abraham and Sarah and Isaac had spent all their days focusing on, oh, remember all that we left back in our homeland. Now, remember as we looked at Abraham, Ur of the Chaldees was a very wealthy city. It was a very prestigious city. They had libraries. They had, you know, farmer's almanac. They were well-to-do, rich in trade. Opportunities abounded for prosperity and whatever. It's like they had it all there at the Ur of the Chaldees, where Abraham came from. If Abraham and Sarah, and then Isaac and Jacob, had dwelt on that fact, oh, we left all of that because we're following Christ. Oh, think of all that we left, all that we could have had we just stayed there. If they had done that, then very likely they would have returned. But the Bible is emphasizing the fact they didn't even consider what they had left. That just didn't even enter their mind. Wasn't a possibility. Because they were focused on what God had promised them, on where God had led them, and they were content with what God gave them. Can I make application to us today? Much of our dissatisfaction comes from focusing on what we think we've lost or left behind or given up by following God. We focus and think about what we could have had if I didn't follow God and give everything up. And we play this in our mind, and it causes us to be disillusioned and dissatisfied with where God has us and what God has given us today. And may I tell you this, based on the authority of God's word, what we think we would have had if we didn't follow God is never accurate reality. I'm going to give you an example. In Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6, when the nation of Israel, after they had left Egypt, and they were wandering in the wilderness, God had been providing for them with manna to eat. He was meeting all of their needs, providing what they needed to eat, providing for water, providing in many different ways. And yet, they were dissatisfied with that. And they said in Numbers 11, 4 through 6, they said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Like, we're not satisfied with just this manna that God gave. We want meat. They said, we remember, Numbers 11, verse 5 says, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Were they accurately remembering what life was like in Egypt? No. If you remember from the book of Exodus, the Bible makes it very clear that their lives were made miserable by hard bondage and slavery. They weren't eating fish freely. They weren't having all these delicacies. They were remembering inaccurately. Their thinking was distorted because they were discontent. The reality was far different from what they remembered. And in the same way, we can fall prey to that same mindset that thinks, well, if I just did this instead, if I wasn't sacrificing for the Lord, I could have this instead. Be careful. That's not actual reality. The world entices with its promise of fulfillment now. It's like, oh, if you just do this, you can have it all now. You can have your joy and fulfillment. Get what you want. Enjoy it now. But yielding to the enticement of sin in the world, while it might give momentary pleasure, it will never give you lasting fulfillment. And it will leave you with a greater emptiness and full of regret and guilt. A pilgrim mindset must learn to ignore the enticement of the world. Ignore the draw that says, oh, you can have all of this if you stop following God. Why suffer by living by faith when you could have all this now? Was that not what the devil did when he tempted Jesus? When he took Jesus up onto the temple and and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, you can have all this now if you will bow down and worship me. Now, there is coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But that is in the future. God has promised that it will happen, but in his timing. The devil is offering a shortcut. And that's what the world does today as well. But a pilgrim mindset learns to ignore the enticement of the world because it knows that what this world offers cannot truly be compared to the reward that will follow by living by faith for the Lord. And that brings us to the last point here. In verse 16, it says, but now. So in contrast to this, they weren't enticed by the world. They didn't spend time dwelling on what they had left. But now, verse 16 says, they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly. The last point here is that a pilgrim mindset correctly evaluates life and eternity. It says they're persuaded. They are desiring a better country. The idea there is they've made a comparison. They've evaluated their options. They've looked at it. They said, no, what God has in store for me is far better than what even Ur of the Chaldees or anything else this world could offer. What God has is far better. They evaluated their life as a foreigner in the land, and they came to the conclusion that a better country is the one that God has prepared. Verse 10 of chapter 11 tells us this, that Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18 reminds us as believers today that even in the face of suffering or difficulties in life, reminds us of the fact that we are still children of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And because of that, our inheritance is in heaven waiting for us. Romans 8, verses 17 and 18 says, If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's an evaluation we have to make. As Christians, we have a choice. What is more important to us? What do we value more? This present life or eternity? The eternal rewards, the inheritance that God says he has laid up for us. This world's perspective says, get all you can now because this is all that there is. God's word tells us, no, there is much more than just this present life. This life is preparation for eternity. And eternity is what truly matters. In a pilgrim mindset, as a child of God, correctly evaluates life and eternity and comes to the conclusion that no matter what I may face here on this earth, no matter the difficulties, no matter the struggles, no matter the disappointments, all of that pales in comparison to what God has in store for me. My inheritance is in heaven because it is far better, the glory that will be revealed in us. Verse 16 ends with God's evaluation of this type of lifestyle. He says, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. You know, it's interesting as you read the Old Testament and you see that after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived, from that point on, whenever God revealed himself to Israel, he was called the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God literally attached his name to theirs and was known by that. He said, because of their faith, because of how they lived here on this present earth, by faith, God is not ashamed to be called their God. What a powerful statement. Could God attach his name to you and be known as the God of Matt Northcutt or the God of your name? Or would he be ashamed of that association because of your failure to live by faith? Because of your focus on this present world instead of living for eternity? It's a life that God is not ashamed of, as it says, and then it says, for he hath prepared for them a city. God always rewards a life of faith. Whether or not we fully see it here on this earth, and we will see many blessings here on this earth. I'm not trying to say that we will never see anything good, that we will always suffer. That's not what this is teaching us. But we will not fully see everything that God has promised to us who are in Christ until we stand before him in our glorified bodies and we see him face to face. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Our full inheritance and rewards are not here on this earth. They wait for us in heaven. And that is why God wants us to live with eternity in view right here on this earth, right now. And a life of faith chooses to do that. A life of faith realizes that there's more than just this present life that's worth living for. A life of faith is absolutely convinced that God's word is true, and that is how I need to live. It embraces God's promises and truths. It says, these are mine. This is what I am living for and how I am living. It understands our true status as Christians here on this earth. It lives a clear testimony in front of those around us. It ignores the enticement from the world around us. And it correctly evaluates life and eternity and comes to the conclusion that living for eternity is far better and far more important than putting the focus and preeminence on this life here. God always rewards a life of faith. The question is, are you living that life of faith that adopts a pilgrim mindset? Let's bow for prayer.